people. It is a Starship Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis out for another day of broadcast insolence. And now I have everybody up and in their place. Anna not with us today. Anna's off this week. Returning next week, Lauren Lapka is in the studio. Kevin Powell is in the studio.
And
this is where things get a little out of control, quite honestly, because the kids start to take over and then there's trouble. Let me explain how we're going to control this in the first hour on the CLTV. And we had some calls from the television management yesterday about some of the language that I was using.
Toilet talk, not big with the broadcast execs?
Well, the toilet talk, it was in the 4 o'clock hour
That's
after
true.
We were off. But just for, I got a new toilet. That's the point. I got a new toilet.
But it's not just a toilet. It's a fancy, smart toilet.
It's a smart
That's
toilet.
That's why it's a conversation starter.
Yeah,
and in some ways a companion for you.
I must say this.
How much time did you spend on the toilet last night, Ro?
It's hours. And then today, I went home in between meetings. So just to, and I think I've got a little crush on my toilet. Because this thing, it's like Rosie the Robot. Except it's, you know.
Changing the world
sure
one flush at a time.
I'm sure better than most people. Mm-hmm.
She gets you. She really gets you.
She does.
Finally, you found someone that gets you, Ro.
Actually, the funny thing is that, you know, you walk by it, and the lid, would you like to come sit on me? Is what happens. It's like, the lid goes up, and it's right. Weird, man. It's just weird.
You walk past the bathroom door, kind of like stop, catches your eye a little bit. So you guys share a moment together.
And then she opens her warm, welcoming arms, basically.
Come to me, Ro.
Come sit here for a moment.
In case you forgot you needed to go to the bathroom. Hey,
right.
Just a reminder.
Yes.
Hello.
But they always say, though, you know, never pass up a bathroom, you know, after a certain age. They say that no matter what, never pass up a bathroom if you have an opportunity. So, you know, it just sort of opens her arms and says, hey, come have a seat. And she then warms the seat for
warms
me.
Warms the seat for
and
you.
So, no one ever did. My mother never did that for me.
Normally, if you sit on a warm seat, it's not that inviting because you're like, oh, someone's been here. But in this case, this
right.
is a personalized Rokon temperature.
Yes, it's been set. The water stream, the air conditioning, the sucker fan, the blower fan, the lights.
A sucker fan, oh.
They got a whole thing that goes on there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's the best.
Glad you found your match.
Anyway, CLTV sent a message about that from yesterday, so welcome again.
Glad we Thank didn't bring
you.
It up today.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Coming up, Ben Bradley's going to join us. The marijuana bill has been signed. So we're going to talk about that. What does that look like for us? Will we have the same problems Colorado has been having, or have they tried to circumvent that in this bill? That's the question.
A little worried about how casual some people approach it. In terms of driving and operating.
Yeah.
You know.
I got rear-ended in Oregon by someone who owns a shop, a pot shop.
Was
he high? I don't know.
Did they not know?
Dude, I don't know.
I didn't ask. I didn't know he owned a pot shop until after he gave me his card. Because he
it said,
hit
like,
me.
Weed R Us
was
on
he trying,
it or
Was he trying to barter for your bumper?
No, he just was not paying attention at all. That's for sure.
Yeah, but after he hit you, was he just trying to, like, hey, let's handle this out of court kind of thing?
No. He was very polite and nice about it, but he embedded his license plate in my car anyways, so he wouldn't have gotten away with it.
Give me a couple grams. Let's call it a day.
I got your license plate, pothead!
They had to replace the whole back door, though. It was good enough damage.
It's a big deal. Wow. All right.
Don't get high and drive.
No.
Damn it.
No.
Don't do it.
No, because it's just as bad as the alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't be messing around with that.
All right, so there's that. Look
at
us
being serious.
Look at
I know.
Kevin.
I know, me
all
of all people.
The public service announcement.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. Oh, look at me. Oh, God. I hope everybody's all right. All right, and then, let's see. That's what we're going to do that. Ben Bradley's going to be here. We're talking about that. A.B. Stoddard's going to be there. The Democrats are preparing for their first debate. There's 26 of them now, I think, right?
Yeah.
They can't keep track. They just keep popping out of nowhere.
25 or 26. There's some guy just announced yesterday.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Some guys.
Right.
It's a bunch of some guys and girls, some girls you've never really heard of.
Right. There's like five people that we might have heard of.
Right.
And then you to have heard of all five, you'd really have to be paying attention. To understand who Peter Butt Edge is, you have to really know, you know, what's really going on. But that's some again. It's a dude I had never heard of. They said former congressman. Well, I think I'm not sure about this. I might be a former congressman. I can't remember everything.
You've got a better shot than some of these guys, Ro. I think you throw your hat in the ring. Do it! Your running mate will be your toilet.
I was going to say, I don't know if he could be away from his toilet for that long.
What's your cabinet position, Kevin?
Madam Tojo, I would like you to meet... I would like you to meet all of the assembled press.
Right.
Like opening up, the seat opening up, and then her not liking it. She blinks when she doesn't like something.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're already at that level.
Yeah. Which can be bad if you're sitting at it.
There's a thing called a wink where she'll do, like, she'll literally open her hatch.
Open her
Oh, my God.
And then she, like, winks at you with her light. It's like, beep, beep. It's wow. Like, oh, wow.
No wonder you've fallen in love with this toilet.
I kind of have.
Yeah.
I kind of have.
I want one of these toilets. Oh. I'm lonely.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. She solves that problem, too.
Who knew? Toilets.
Who knew? Commode. I think we wanted
to swipe right on the next toilet I see on Bumble.
Yeah, exactly. You should do that because it then they show up.
Yeah.
All right. Ben Bradley. Maybe he has a thought on this. This will teach him to send a memo. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Oh, we'll also tell you how you can join us in London for a football game of American style with our football heroes in it, taking on the Oakland Raiders.
Mm.
We'll tell you all about that. That's coming your way in October, but we need you to decide now whether you want to go with us. And let me just, since I'm talking about it, go to WGNradio.com, and you'll see the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis invites you to join us in London, England, and an opportunity to tour London for 4 days and then go to the football game that a Chicago football team might be in.
That's a trip.
Right. Yeah, on October, October 6th, I think, is the game.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we depart on October 3rd. So think about that, my friends.
It's going to be a good month.
Steve Bertrand traveled. Right, because we got people going to Prague to see the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then 2 days later, that team from Chicago is going to be...
snapping the pins.
That other sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that other sport, which,
And then you'll be home for the Blackhawks home opener, correct? Their schedule release today, October 10th.
Now, that's funny about October 10th, because I have just set a schedule. Damn it! I have to be in Columbus, Ohio on the 10th.
Brutal.
Yeah. No!
I'm sorry. OH.
I am. All right. We'll talk about all of that. Well, you know what? We'll talk about that later. You know what? Call Madam Tojo. She's keeping my schedule now. She can handle all of that. All right. Don't anybody move. Here we go.
Half century after Stonewall, the police raid that sparked a new civil rights movement. Tonight's cover story on WGN-TV News at 9.
Thank you, K-Pal. The state of Illinois. Now pot is legal, kids.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high.
Ben Bradley, here's the best part here. Listen.
My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
There you go. That's as good as it gets.
Inspirational lyrics right there.
Mm-hmm. From Afro Man.
And a reminder only for those 21 and over.
Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, so we have legalized the marijuana in this state.
Beginning January 1.
All right. And then what does that mean for people who get arrested tomorrow on trying to sling some weed on the west side?
I love it when you talk street, Ro. Mm-hmm. Sling some weed on the west side. I think that's exactly how they refer to it,
yes,
by the way.
It's exactly how the man refers to it, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chicago police have said that they, understand the change in the law, and certainly that was not going to be a priority here in the interim basis. A number of other law enforcement have said that as well. Technically, still illegal until January 1, but the reality has been that the state's attorney has not been prosecuting a lot of these low-level marijuana cases.
Or low-level murder cases, or low-level other cases for that matter. It's a separate issue. Don't get me started.
Yeah, the bigger issue that we're going to look at today, beginning at 4 o'clock, is what lessons can be learned from the state of Colorado, which went through this 5.5 years ago when they legalized recreational marijuana. Now, Colorado's program is a lot more liberal than ours. There are a lot more dispensaries. They allow people to grow marijuana plants at home, a limited number of marijuana plants at home.
But we're doing that too, though, aren't we?
Only if you have a medical marijuana license can you grow at home.
And that's a limited number. It's like five plants or something.
Yeah, it's five plants or less in Illinois.
But how big's a plant? I mean, what does that count for? I mean, I've seen some of these people in their bathtubs. I see what they do.
Yeah. Interestingly, you know, you would think, oh, the black market demand for marijuana in a state like Colorado, where it's been legalized, would just dry up. Some have speculated, oh, this will be great because it'll, you know, take the criminal element out of marijuana. Well, officials in Colorado, in fact, say the opposite has happened, that they have the biggest bust of black market marijuana operations in the state's history. And in fact, what's been happening, because there is a more lenient attitude towards the growth of marijuana, people have pushed not only up to the law, but well beyond it. And now marijuana is a huge illegal export from the state of Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And they've found that tons and tons of marijuana have been being shipped to seven states, largely, including the state of Illinois. So you say that, well, that's Colorado's experience. Now, Illinois' program is going to be a lot more tailored. And, you know, people who break laws are going to break them whether or not they want, you know, regardless of what the law
says. And in Cook County, you don't have
to
worry about it because now it's okay not to break a law.
I'm detecting a theme. But, you know, it is interesting, right, because you have a bunch of surrounding states here where recreational marijuana is not legal. And so, hey, what do you know? Illinois may have a new export.
Yeah. Take that, Indiana.
Yeah,
take that.
You
move your business to Indiana.
Jobs,
all those,
jobs.
Right? All of those, all of those billboards.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, Mike Pence. Here you go. How about this?
Interestingly, in Oregon, there has been so much legal marijuana production that they say they could basically they've got more than enough for the state supply for years, so they've actually overproduced.
I think last I saw was a million joints of surplus marijuana right now.
1 million joints.
Yes.
Now let me ask you a question. Joints like cigars, you have to keep them in a humidor. Do you have to keep them, you know, properly humidified and all that? Otherwise, they become untenable.
I think you just roll it and then smoke it.
I don't think as much thought and restraint goes into that as you would a fine cigar. But, you know, in Colorado, one of the things that we looked at is marijuana-related driving deaths.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
So before marijuana was legal, there were 55 marijuana-related driving deaths in Colorado. Fast forward a couple of years, 139. So more than doubled. And marijuana was detected in 21% of all traffic fatalities in the state of Colorado in 2017. So it's a significant issue in law enforcement, both in Colorado and now soon here in Illinois, looking for ways. How do you detect it, right? It's not the protocols for determining whether or not somebody is drugged and driving are different from drunk driving.
Right, but there is a whole program for that now.
Yeah.
And John Williams just interviewed these police officers who do exactly that.
Right. They have to get certified, though.
Right.
In that particular type of detection. So there's a whole host of issues here. And in this legislation that the governor signed today, 20% of the revenue from marijuana taxes collected in Illinois, which is going to be about $50 million in the first year, 20% of that is going to go to substance abuse prevention and treatment. And then there's going to be other money earmarked for law enforcement to try to combat some of the issues that no doubt will pop up.
You know what they should do? They should just hire moms to drive around in the police cars, because they always know when you're high.
Why are your eyes so red, Kevin?
The moms always know.
Allergies, Mom.
Well, you know, I heard a news item on the radio the other day that said that 7-Eleven was now for the first time going to deliver Slurpees to, you know, beaches and parks and other places like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought, gosh, how big of a market can there be to get, like, a bag of Doritos delivered?
Oh, my God, a Doritos and Slurpee truck. I think that's what we need to get
involved
in. Some
beef jerky, man. Get me some beef jerky, too.
All right. Yeah. Ben, that was really good. Ben, we'll have to save the toilet talk for tomorrow.
Sounds good.
I've fallen in love with my toilet, Ben.
I'll be off tomorrow.
Yep. Thanks. All right. Ben, you should really get one of these. You should really get a Madame Tojo. It's
really
the greatest thing that ever happened.
I've never seen Ro this happy, Ben.
Is it the flushing capacity or the cleansing capacity?
It does everything. It does everything. It says hello to me in the morning.
It's
Nobody else. I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell you something. Nobody says hello to me in the morning.
Bro is so finally so happy to be greeted by somebody who has a warm greeting for him in the morning.
That's right.
Even if it's from his toilet.
That's correct.
This whole newsroom is befuddled by this conversation, by the way.
Thank you, Ben.
Daily.
Yes. Is he here? All right, hold on. Let's check in. Before we get to Kim Gordon's news, we got to do this piece of business, and then we'll talk to her in 2 minutes. Yeah, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis, 720 WGN. Anna's off. Sweet. Kevin Powell and Lauren Lapka are in the studio with me.
Behaving for the most part.
For the most part. There was way too much toilet talk at the top of the show because A.B. Stoddard joins us right now. I got a new toilet, A.B. I hate to bring this up to you, but I got one of those smart toilets.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I'm going to run away with it. It's basically the only thing in my home, maybe in the history of my home, that does exactly what I ask of it, and actually is welcoming and warming to me. That's the only thing that goes on. I don't know.
Getting really sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is. All right, we have a lot to discuss here. Can we start with Democrats for a second? We always talk about the president because, you know, there's so much. But tomorrow night is the start of, I think, a six-part miniseries of the Democrats having a debate. And I don't even understand. There are 25 candidates now. 25 candidates for the Democratic nomination. How in the hell could this possibly go right?
No, I agree. I mean, I just think that it's such a sign of the kind of weakening of the parties that you can do this now to promote yourself and drag out the process, complicate the process for consensus and, you know, unifying around a candidate. This is going to be a really long primary, and the debates are just ineffective, as we saw in 2016 on the Republican side, if you have too many people and you have a baby table debate and all this stuff. So MSNBC or NBC said that they pulled names out of a hat, and it was completely by lottery and randomly chosen, that they have everyone on the all the top contenders together except for Elizabeth Warren on the second night. And it's just, I guess anything can happen, right? One of the one percenters could break out and have a good night, but very few speaking time for everybody. And I don't think, maybe it'll eliminate some of the low-hanging fruit, or someone will have a boomlet after this. But
by the way, low-hanging fruit and boomlet like are both in this race. Yeah. Hey, one of the things that Bernie Sanders, in advance of this week, he announces this. I love this. That he wants to spend $560 gazillion to forgive everybody's student loan debt. I get this. I get this whole play because that's like a complete, it's a payoff is what it is. In Chicago, our aldermen go to jail for this. Not enough, but they do. That is it. The idea of, hey, I'm going to pay off all the student loan debt, but you got to vote for me to do it. It's smart politics in the Democratic primary, but then he's going to get into a general and get mauled for that because most of America is not going to vote. The Trump America is not going to vote for that.
Yeah, I feel like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have spent the tax cut like 20 times over. I mean, there's how much money do we, how many of these programs can be funded by a wealth tax or turning back the tax cut? But Bernie's slipping and he's desperate and he is learning that he is not so hot when Hillary Clinton is not the other choice. And he's going to be interesting in these debates. And as I've mentioned before, I think that the Democrats are in denial if they think that he's not going to, you know, be a problem, hang around. I don't think he's going to be the nominee, but I think that he could, pushing him, you know, depending on the strength of his coalition, a plurality, push himself. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, somewhere in the top contenders, let's say Biden or Warren is ahead next year, or even Harris or something. But Bernie's always lurking around at two or three. I think he's going to be insistent that he hangs around and is a kingmaker or some kind of, I don't know, disruptor. So I'm always watching him with interest because he, I think he's stunned that that Senator Warren has sort of, you know, suddenly surged and she's nipping at his ankles. And, you know, I think both of them are bad general election candidates, but she seems to be exciting more people and gaining more momentum than him. He has a, you know, he has like a solid following at 17% or something. It changes only marginally in polls, but you know, I think those people are open to listening to her, and he's just an interesting factor because, again, I just don't perceive him as nominee material, but I think he can stick around and make a lot of problems.
He looks goofy in a hat, though. I just have been noticing these pictures of him wearing, like, the, you know, the kind of the new almost farmer hat, almost, where it's, you know, sort of, it made to look retro. It's a baseball cap made to look retro with the mesh in the back, like a trucker cap. And you're like, ah, come on, Bernie. Come on.
What I think is so funny is that there's a lot of discussion about Biden's age, but not about Bernie's. You know, Bernie's a year older than Biden. So, like, I just don't see a lot of people, you know, I mean, he's not the front runner, but I don't hear a lot of, you know, here in Iowa with voters and they're complaining that he might be too old. It's just sort of never something that happens to Bernie.
I think the old white man argument is off the table currently, because you just said something really fascinating, which was Bernie's finding it's not so easy when Hillary isn't the opponent. You know, you wonder if Donald Trump will have the same issue. I mean, it depends on who it is.
You can already see that in the polling. I mean, Donald Trump was, they were the most disliked candidates in the history of, and he won because her voters stay home. So he is learning that, and, you know, Donald Trump likes to pretend all the polls are fake, but he loves polls and he knows they're real and he consults them, you know, regularly. And he is seeing that, that he's losing support in the places where he won in that lightning strike, those three states that he won by a combined total of fewer than 78,000 votes. He's seeing his numbers down there. I just read a stat today, 56-41 is trade disapproval. That's a big issue there. You have to think, we know there were Bernie supporters who were voted for Jill Stein because they thought that Hillary was going to win in those states. We know that there were Barack Obama supporters, 4 million of them, who sat out 2016. We know that there were people thought they could be Trump triers because they thought Hillary was going to win. So his like rock-solid coalition right now is not 46% and an Electoral College victory.
Yeah.
That could change, and he has to make a change. But if the election were held today, all the polling shows a consistent weakness across the board with too many voting groups.
So the president, over the last couple of days, has, about a week's time, has made a number of threats and then backed off them, right? He had the threat with Iran, backed off that. He had the threat with the Border Patrol or the ICE going into the neighborhoods of the major cities and do the raids. They're not going to do that. Two more weeks to, you know, for the Congress to work something out. And Congress is looking at itself like, what is he talking about? What are we supposed to work out? Is it? And the question is, does the president now, his CBP director, the Customs and Border Patrol Protection director chief, just resigned, right? What I mean, it seems that it's one thing to make a threat. It's a whole other thing to go in and actually execute raids in these cities, especially cities that don't necessarily want to go along with it. I know the dog hates when I talk about immigration. I know. Either that or there's a squirrel, but it's
I mean, really, the luck that I have with the arrival of the mail in Cujo.
You know what you need? A Japanese toilet.
I know.
It'll keep the dog.
I need a smart toilet.
Yeah, it'll keep the dog company. I'm telling you, the dog will walk by, the lid will go up, it'll wink at it, and then the dog will go, oh, I love you too.
It will magically have a treat waiting.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's, oh my God. A doggy companion. A computerized doggy companion. That's, where's Elon Musk when I need him? All right. So back to the attempting to do these raids. I mean, that seems like that will create. So the one fear, like the Trump, when he talked about this on the campaign trail, people go, what, are you going to, like, they're going to, like, kick in the doors? And then after it started, he wasn't really kicking in the doors. Now he says he's going to kick in the doors. That's kind of, that's going to lead to a lot of trouble for law enforcement.
Right. And so there was, you know, as usual, a lot of these things, he does a lot of roaring and then retreating. He promises things that don't come. Like, there's always a health care bill that's coming in 2 weeks. Now the raids have been put off 2 weeks. The Iranian strikes have been put off till whenever. It's always something, but then there's additionally there's some kind of soap opera accompanies. There's a backstory, right, where they're going to blame Kevin McAleenan, who's acting DHS secretary, who took over when Kirstjen Nielsen was fired, and people were talking about how he leaked stuff. I mean, no, the president announced the raids. It is a threat to law enforcement when you announce these raids. You put their lives in danger. The element of surprise is very important. I don't think the raids are ever coming. We do know that there will not be an asylum reform bill passed by the Congress in 2 weeks, which is what the president is asking for. They're actually going to pass some emergency funding, and everybody's fighting about how that money is going to be spent because the federal government's spending $775 per kid per day to not give them a bed, a toothbrush, or a bar of soap. So they're, I don't, like I said, I just can't imagine that they're actually going to happen, but there is a lot of dysfunction and turmoil within the DHS about, A, doing this, and then, B, how to do it. I think it's politically a disaster. And, you know, it's something that he's going to throw out because he always wants a giant explosion of drama that's related to immigration, like sort of rolling out, you know, on a regular basis. So the tariff threat to Mexico will resurface. You know, he always has to have the threat to close the border. There's going to be something on a regular basis. You can count on it. And he retreats from it, but he has to announce it and have everybody go wild. I'm going to just be stunned if they actually effectuate raids in all these cities.
Yeah. Yes, so will the cities. So will law enforcement in the cities, too. All right, AB, thank you so much, as always. AB Stoddard, RealClearPolitics.com, if you want to read her, and you should. All right, coming up, details on how women have been taking men for years for dinner.
Classic.
You see this story?
I can't. Oh, my God.
Lauren's going to beat the crap out of us in this next segment.
Where's that toilet? I need another female in here.
Yeah, we're gonna have to outrun her around the studio.
I'm worried now.
She'll go totally spider monkey. I've seen it already. Saw it at a Hawks game. She'll go after somebody. Remember when she took Tommy Hawk down?
I did.
Yeah.
He looked at her funny.
Yeah.
It was. Hey, for decades he's been eating my head. It was only time.
All right. Okay. That was too much information. And we'll tell you how you can join us for the White Sox family reunion and how you can join us in London. All of those details come your way at the top of the hour from Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. But first, Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, and she is off today. Kevin and Lauren are in the studio, and we are going to ad-lib something here, so look out. First of all, we want to welcome Mick Jagger to what will be a dark and stormy Soldier Field tonight.
Good luck, Mick.
Yeah, I hope he can survive the winds.
Right, well, yes. He could literally get blown across the stadium. That could be a problem.
Need to get some harnesses.
Yeah,
strap them down.
We need to get
Nick Walenda.
People going to the concert row, this is expected to clear out like in the next couple hours, so I think it'll be okay.
All right, good.
That's good.
That's what we just heard from the WGN Weather Center.
And that was you know why? Because one of our bosses is going to the concert tonight.
That's why.
Sitting on the floor. I ran into him in the hallway, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to the Stones tonight, no big deal. I go, I was there Friday night, no big deal.
His seat might need to be wiped off, but he should be okay.
Yeah. And I said, where are you sitting? He goes, I'm on the floor. No big deal.
Backstage with Mick. No big deal.
Yeah. And I said, okay. And he goes, I don't know about the weather, though. I said, well, why don't you, what you should do is you maybe call Demetrius Ivory and find out, or Skilling or somebody over there. No big deal. I know them. Yep, I can call them. So that's probably why they're getting out the alert right now, because one of their bosses called them.
I want updates every 10 minutes. I'm going to dinner and then I'm going to hang out with Mick. Right. No big deal.
I want to call Mick and let him know. Well, the Stones don't get on the stage till 8:45. So really? If you're heading to the show, it's called for 7:30. But don't worry about that, my friends.
No wonder traffic is so bad for so long.
Yeah.
So what do they do to fill?
They got an opening act.
Who is it?
I had no idea. I didn't get there until 8:40. So I have no idea. Got there right.
Interesting.
Time.
It started at 8:45. You got there at 8:40?
Sort of, yeah. Close enough.
Are you sure it started at 8:45? Or in your mind, that's when it started?
No,
you got
it was 8:40. I looked at it, and okay. It was 8:40. Well, they waited for me, of course. No big deal. So I got there, and then it was like, you know, we're standing around, and then all of a sudden, you know, they have a video that rolls to start everything. That's how everybody knows now to shut up. Used to be the lights would go out. Now a video has to roll. Yeah, I know who they are. That's why we're here.
Got to pump up the crowd.
It is a very cool open to the show, so don't miss that. But again, it will be after. It'll definitely be after 8:30. They want it to be dark because it's so much. There's so many lights and effects that go on here. There is Sympathy for the Devil is one of the coolest effects I have ever seen in any concert, and I will never look at Soldier Field the same way again. So I'm going to say about that. So congratulations to people who are going to that show tonight. You are going to see something that is going to be unbelievable. And let's just hope that Mick doesn't get blown behind the stage.
And leave early because pretty much Lakeshore Drive, Columbus, everything headed towards Soldier Field was so backed up on Friday. Probably will be tonight, too.
And there's a really interesting, if you're taking like Uber to this concert, this is, or Lyft or any of those things. First of all, good luck. But you have to choose on your app where you want to be dropped off.
So where do they drop you off? Because when I go to Bears games on Sunday, on Sundays, the Ubers don't even get off at 18th. They kind of pull off near the off ramp and people run out of the cars.
Right, I've seen that.
With cases of beer in hand, and football, it's like, come on! Figure this out already.
That's awful.
It gets
ridiculous. Then they take off.
Then they run down the
ramp. Yes, and they run down the ramp. Yep. And then there's the security guards or the traffic aides that are there. And the traffic guys say, hey, you can't do that.
Right, but nobody listens.
Right.
Everyone just runs out of the Uber and is back up on 18th.
I'm telling you something. Give the traffic aides sidearms and that'll all be over. Two frat bros down.
Right.
18th Street. Underpass. Two more. Anyway, there's at 18th you get off,
and if then you actually get off,
and then they take you around a little loop
where the buses go kind of by the tracks,
and they take
there.
And then there's a whole protocol, or you can go to the east side. You know what the sneak is, people? I'm going to give you a little advice. I'm going to give you the best sneak to go to Soldier Field.
Okay, what do you got?
You go to Navy Pier, you park at Navy Pier, or you Uber or whatever to Navy Pier, wherever
you
you're
told
coming
me about
from.
This. Yeah,
you take the boat. There's a boat that leaves every 10 minutes.
Plus, how cool is that?
From Navy Pier. And you go, and I learned this on Friday night, the not-so-hard way. They serve you on the boat, too.
Ooh.
Open bar on the boat. I mean, you have to pay for it, but it's a bar on the boat. I mean, they got the real deal in this bar. So you get on the boat. It's Shoreline, I think, is the company that does this. And then it takes you over to basically Shedd Aquarium. And from there, it's a 5-minute walk to the stadium. And they got a bathroom on the boat, too.
What do they charge for the boat? What is the ride? It's
20 bucks, I think.
That's not bad.
Yeah, or 30 bucks. I can't remember now.
It's cheaper than one of those bicycle thingies if you use that route as
well. Yeah, and who needs that? Because the bicycle, A, doesn't have a bathroom. B, it's got an uncomfortable seat. Then you have to pedal it.
Not you. The ones that you sit in the back,
Oh, that guy. Oh my God! Some stoner that's going to be like pedaling his way through
They're
the whole
blasting
thing.
Like EDM, like
yeah. It's not. That's not right. No.
Well, at least they can get around the cars sometimes. If we're talking about alternatives,
Let me tell you something. The boat gets around the cars.
All for the boat.
Except
with some big waves today. Maybe not.
And it's not even bad. I mean, that's a big boat. It goes right through it. And the boat takes you, and then you could do like a there and back, a return, round trip ticket, I think is what they call that in the business. And then you got that ticket, and you're ready to go on the way back, and just find out what time the last boat leaves from China, And it's, I mean, I came back at whatever the show was over at 11 or whatever. I think we were on the boat like by 12:30 or 11:30 or quarter to 12, and they were still going. So it's a good way to go.
That's smart, way to go.
Pro tip.
Yeah. And that's great for football, too.
Is it an all year round thing or just, I mean, obviously not when it's really, really cold?
Yeah, I think when it's frozen, it's not year round. Although I've taken that boat to and from a playoff game for the Bears. So I think that they, as long as they, as long as it's navigable,
conditions of the day, maybe?
Yeah, they do it, and it's navigable right now. Might not be perfect, but it's good. It's pretty good. I'm telling you it, and now I've told you my secret. And
now there's gonna be lines,
right? Yeah. Well, maybe they'll put more boats on. I don't know. But that way, and then you're away, and then when you want to leave, if you've parked at Navy Pier, or you've Ubered or whatever, when you get there, there's all these Ubers waiting for you, or your car's right there, and then you're away from all the traffic.
I love that. I mean, getting from Soldier to where we are, which is not far at all, after a Bears game, takes forever.
Right.
It is just completely jam-packed on Lakeshore and Columbus. So I like Rose Pro Tip.
Yep, there you go. A little something. Now, you know, I mentioned the Bears right there. Just in reference to the boat. I should also mention that Anna and I are taking a group of people to London on October 3rd. A couple days later, I think there's a football game in London, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. With the pigskin.
Yeah.
American football.
American football. Where there might be teams from the United States there.
Mm-hmm.
One from down the street, maybe even, is going to be there. And we have tickets to that game. So if you want to go with us to London, you can get tickets to that game and an incredible halftime experience. And not to mention, you can spend 4 days in London. There's going to be tours of the Tower of London, Windsor Castle, so much more. A London pub crawl. And with me, that will actually be a crawl. a three-course welcome dinner.
Are you bringing your tweed? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, I'm bringing my darts. I'm bringing my tweed. I'm bringing the whole thing.
Your toilet on the trip?
My toilet is my plus one on the trip.
Sit next to you on the plane?
Yeah. I have a new fancy smart toilet that has now become my closest friend ever. It's the only family member that will talk to me. And if you'd like to take part in this trip to London, go to WGNradio.com or contact Steve Bertrand Travel, 847-606-6065. We need your answer by Thursday if you're going, if you want to fly with us.
Hurry up.
That's a big deal. 847-606-6065 or WGNradio.com. How about that? It's going to be something right there, my friends. No big deal. Yes, that's a big deal.
How many times a week were you going out?
I would say an average of 4 to 5 times a week.
So you were hitting it pretty hard.
I was. New York is really expensive, and a lot of these experiences I wouldn't have been able to have if I hadn't, you know, been on Match.com and gone through this. This was my own Sex in the City.
Uh-huh.
Classic.
Yeah. Did you see this story that women are dating men? It's called foodie calls as opposed to booty calls.
Okay.
They're dating men for dinner.
Consistently dating?
Yes.
The war on men continues.
Yes. It is a it's a trend. You're going on a foodie call. Now, what is interesting about this, when you read the story in depth, sometimes there's a transaction for that. Like if the dinner was particularly good, then there's going to be foodie turns into booty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that the state of Illinois frowns on that as a transactional event.
Right.
But then you'd have to actually put that on paper that it was transactional. Or there would have to be a police officer standing there in the bedroom going, now wait, did you do this in exchange for a $600 meal?
I have it on good authority that you are a prostitute. Is that true?
See, that's the thing. Now, let me just ask you a question. This is, you know, Good Morning America did this story. Everybody's talking about this story. That was Jessica Sporty.
Of course, that's her name.
Yeah, that's her name. Am I supposed to know who Jessica Sporty is?
Is she famous?
All right. No. She's just a woman who's now, she went on Match.com and she used Match.com as her personal dining service because it's so expensive.
Right.
I probably saved up to like $1,200 a month by just eating with these Match.com. Just swipe right.
Swipe right. I don't think you swipe on Match.com, but I get what you're saying.
What do you do? I don't know.
I've never been on Match.com.
Farmers. Do you have to pay for that one?
I don't know.
Is it farmers only? You do have to pay for that? You do have to pay for Match.com? What do you have to pay? Wow. I got to pay for that, too?
Yeah,
why is that not prostitution? Huh?
Right.
What's going on there?
They're basically selling sex, then.
There's so many free dating apps. Why pay for one?
Because that probably weeds out the creeps, right?
Yeah.
In theory.
I think that's the idea of it. Or it feels less creepy, being like, well, this is like a serious one.
This shows me you're invested.
You're investing in this. You're not just swiping right, trying to get the booty call or foodie call or both.
You're just going for a booty call. This is when the date does not end well, I can just tell you. How much is Match.com? Anybody know? Does it depend on who you are?
They probably have like premier
levels?
Packages. Yeah.
You know, what does a premier package do? What does that get you?
We'll give you access to the best girls.
Right. That's basically it.
There was a guy from Macedonia who told me that too. I get your best girls. Don't worry about it. For $500, I get your best girl. You go, what does that even mean? Wait, how much was it? $26.99 for 3 months.
What?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Sheesh.
Yeah. They should do a $69 all year round. Yeah. That should be their deal.
I'm signing up for it right now. Mm-hmm.
All right.
View photos.
There we go.
I want to know what the average age of those users are.
Well, you can pick what age group you want to look for. Like, I just put the range in.
Right, right.
Caroline,
but I mean, in general,
nice. Out
of all the users...
What are you looking for? What's your age
percentage?
Range?
I went 21 to 35.
21 to 35?
Yeah. I'm 30. It's kind of a...
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is 21 too low?
No.
Be ready for some college students.
Funny.
Right. Be ready for some really uninteresting conversations.
I'm home for summer break, bored. Laying by my parents' pool.
Right. So what classes do you have next semester?
Yeah, right. What are you majoring? I'm in between majors. Where do you go to school? I'm in between universities.
Yeah. I'm doing the six-year plan.
I'm either going to be a reality star, an actress, or an Instagram model.
Right. I want to be famous.
I want to be insta-famous.
I'm really hoping my job as a Hollister model will help me this summer.
Hollister model.
Well,
remember that was a thing? People were getting like summer jobs to like dress up in Abercrombie and just stand there?
Yeah.
They didn't even really do anything. They just stood there.
Called models, even though they're not modeling.
I remember people
were
doing
that.
They're
trying to get people to sign up for the job.
Yeah.
Well, all I want to say is that if I want to sign up, if I want to get on that thing and it's, I think the appropriate age range for me is is like 60 to 85. I'm sorry, is that your hip? Was that your hip that just went out? Wait, what was that?
Yeah, she wants a foodie call, but it's got to be early, Ro. She's
4 p.m.
4 p.m. And she wants a doggy bag to take home.
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm on the air until 7.
I can't do that.
Can I get the soup to go?
No solid foods either.
Yeah, no solid food.
I don't think this is really working out. All right, well, we'll let Kevin. Congratulations, Kevin, now that you're on that.
On the Match.com?
Yeah.
Now they're asking for an email and everything. Come on.
Oh, did they just give you a teaser?
Is that a fake person that they just sent at you? Well, it popped up with all these different like profiles. And I was scrolling, and it was fun to scroll through. And now this thing popped up. I got to give him an email. I got to give him my birthday.
You probably got to give him.
Teased you.
Yeah,
credit card information. Right.
Yeah, right. Home address. Social security.
The guy from Macedonia only wants cash. Think about that. And it's single time.
He's asking me to Venmo some random guy. I don't know. But I'm desperate, so I'll do it. Let's go.
Don't worry. We're not going to take Venmo. He's just getting the cash. He's American cash. Is that what I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Unless you have Bitcoin. I can take Bitcoin.
Bumble's easier. You just get on there and you swipe right. Although Bumble tries to hit you with some upcharges too. Like you have.
Oh, Vlad has upcharges too. I just want to say he's got his own series of upcharges, and especially if something goes wrong, then the next thing you know, Vlad's like, hey,
that was a very bad idea. There wasn't it to go to a second bar, was it not?
But I don't know.
See, Bumble puts like this, it tells you that you have matches, but you haven't met them yet, but if you want to see them, you can pay for the premium, and then you'll see your matches. prostitution, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
See, now women, that the experience for women on those sites is different, right? Because they're the ones being sought.
Well, Bumble is, yeah. So Bumble, like, if you match with the woman, you can't message them until they message you.
Right. So it's her choice.
Hmm.
Which, by the way, Bumble is very, because like some of my buddies' girlfriends love going on this and swiping for me. They love, because they all huddle around, they all judge the females, and they love it. They're like, oh my God, let me see your Bumble. And then they go, and then all the girls huddle around the phone and like, oh my God, what is she doing with her hair? What is she doing there? Why is she dressed?
Oh my God,
it's
I just pray that one of them sees the other one standing next to him on the thing. Right? She pops up.
Then it gets ugly.
Wait, no, 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 that's not me. No, that is not me.
It's a bad hair day.
I forgot to take myself off that. Oh, my friends, no, my friends put that on. That's not me.
Yeah.
Would you like to work for me? All right, here we go. Stand by. We got Kim Gordon doesn't need to put up with this. She's got the news brought to you by Townstone Financial. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchus right here. Anna off this week. And the medical director of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchus, Dr. Jim Adams, is going to join us. Brought to us by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And, doctor, thank you very much for being with us. Unpaid position. Now, this is a very important thing. Today, the governor signed into law the marijuana bill. And people have been talking about the medicinal impact of marijuana for years and years and years, especially your corner drug dealer. Now, CBD oil, though, is like a whole other side of this. And, I there's a lot of people in legitimate medicine, real doctors, real folks, who believe that there may be some benefits to this. What are some of the misconceptions and what are some of the benefits?
Well, some of the benefits, there's a couple very, very rare types of seizures that it actually does benefit, but the misconception is that it's broadly beneficial. It's really not a medicine, not that well researched, not that well understood. Probably CBD is probably not that harmful, but we shouldn't over expect it to be a medicine.
And people are using it for sleep. They're using it. I mean, it's sort of a catch-all right now. No matter what, I got pain. Oh, I got this. I got that. That's the way I think, a lot of a lot of snake oils over the years were treated like that, right?
Yeah, it does have that feel to it. It's been promoted for all kinds of purposes for which it's never been studied. But at least it's not probably harmful. But the stores are popping up all over, and it's not that cheap.
No, we found that out the hard way when we tried to go out and get it. And people, I mean, I know that there's the actual THC involved stuff that's got, the medicinal marijuana. What is your thought on that, actually? Because, these stores are popping up everywhere, right? These dispensaries. And, do you know other people that are prescribing that to people in a legitimate way?
Well, so I know up to this point, before it was legalized, the doctors could authorize the patient to purchase it for medical reasons. They didn't prescribe it. They didn't say it was good for the patient, but they could say that they had a qualifying medical condition. So that's all the doctors should have been doing so far. But it's never been studied. The doctors I know are not promoting it for medical treatment or medical purposes. Now that it's legal, it's a whole different game, but the whole concept of medical marijuana should never be, because it's never been that well studied for medical reasons.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right. If women are pregnant, is that an issue?
It's a problem. It increases the premature delivery probably 50%, increases the likelihood that newly delivered baby is going to need intensive care. It's really not healthy for pregnant women.
There's about a million ways to take in CBD. There's sprays, there's pills, there's lotions. Has any of them been studied and found to be more effective way of consuming it, I guess?
So, again, not that well studied. The consumable and the food is actually still not probably going to be legal. The lotions It does get absorbed through the skin, but they seem to be a lot less harmful. And CBD is one chemical out of smoked marijuana. It seems to be a certainly a less harmful chemical, but when you smoke it, you get a lot of chemicals in the lungs, really highly absorbed. The lungs are a very efficient way to take in toxins, medicines, get it in the bloodstream, get it to a fetus. So smoking is a much more intense way to get these things. But I don't think ingesting or smoking are probably a great idea.
I'm going to run a couple other stories past you here that have popped up this week that they all hit me on a different level, Doctor. And this is exactly the way I want to handle this. This is one about decaf coffee. Now, thank God I do not believe in decaf coffee. I believe that's like...
What's the point?
Yeah, what is the point of that? I don't really love the taste of coffee. I'm there for the caffeine. But there is some concern about decaf coffee and whether it's got deleterious effect on your health. What do you know about that?
Yeah, good that people are concerned, good to be thoughtful about it, but decaf coffee should not scare anybody. People worry that the chemical used to decaffeinate could be bad. That chemical is not good for you. It's dangerous. However, it's very highly regulated, making sure that chemical really does not persist in the coffee. So really no worries about decaf coffee.
Coffee seems to be one of the more... debated, talked about. It seems like there's a new report on coffee, the benefits or the negative parts of coffee. I mean, I consume quite a bit of coffee. What is too much coffee, Doctor?
Yeah, there was a story this week. Is you know, are you drinking too much coffee?
Yeah, I mean, I
can tell them myself.
I
yes,
probably
I
am.
Am.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what is a realistic? I mean, what should be limiting ourselves to?
Well, first, nobody knows for sure, but for the caffeine, you can't get too much caffeine. And the amount of caffeine in the coffee varies a lot. So it depends what type of coffee you're drinking. Really look at the caffeine. Once you drink a couple of cups, you're getting into hundreds of milligrams of caffeine. That really can be overstimulating. However, 2 to 4 cups of coffee a day is kind of looking to be pretty healthy. That the associations, at least, we don't know the cause, but it's associated with pretty good health. So I don't think that people have too much to fear from coffee, but try not to go beyond 2 to 4 cups a day. That just gets excessive.
Now, when you say cup, Doctor, right. What exactly yeah. are you talking about? Because like I go,
Earl gets like a gallon from Starbucks with right. his iced coffee when he walks in.
Yeah, I mean, I get a venti. Here's what I get: I walk into the Starbucks and I go, I want a venti, the biggest one,
yep.
cup of coffee with 4 shots in it. Am I overdoing it with the 4 shots? Of espresso on top of the coffee?
Yeah, you're overdoing it.
I'm overdoing it.
That's why everybody in the station admits that.
Yeah, heartbeats like a rabbit. But you know what? But you go, if you ever go around, first of all, I don't know if you know this, Doctor. Do you know what the number one Starbucks in Chicago is in terms of sales?
Tell me. I don't know. It is in your lobby. I believe it.
It is at Northwestern. That is the damnedest thing, right? And everybody, you know, I see the you know, the interns and the residents and the doctors yep. and every color of coat walking through the lobby. And you have a wonderful food court over there too.
It makes sense, right?
Right.
I mean, long days for people, stress, yeah. long hours, late nights.
Yeah.
And it's a 24-hour Starbucks. It's 24 oh. hours a day.
Yeah. Right. There's always a line. It's a sad line at night. I'm not going to lie to you. But like during the day, I mean, it's buzzing in there. And it's creating a buzz in there. All right. I'm wrong about I shouldn't be doing it. This is what I say to my doctor all the time. I shouldn't be doing it, but I am doing it. Okay. And he doesn't like it when I say it like that. And then the other big story too is this. Well, there's actually two other big stories. One, they're animal testing on dogs a cancer vaccine. What do you know about it? Is that something that we should be hopeful about?
Don't get your hopes up. Really early, really nice that they're doing the research. We want to promote science and research. Hopefully something will turn up, but it's research like any other. It's a hope, but I would not get my expectations up. The cancer vaccines have been proven to be very, very tricky, very difficult. Just the nature of cancer, it's really complicated.
So I know we talked about this once before when you were on with us, Dr. Adams, but there's another story about the new 5G phones that are coming out. And Belgium actually just halted a test of one of the phones out of health concerns because these things are faster and, you know, there's more there. It is believed that there is a more dense radiation load for people who are going to be using these phones or near these phones or where they're keeping these phones. How worried on a scale of one to, oh my God, should I be?
So I'm on the low end of the worry. I worry about a lot of stuff, but this is something that I'm not technically worried about. It could cause DNA damage. It could increase the risk for cancer. But so far, no study has shown it. And the amount of attention and rigorous thought like Europe is giving, as you mentioned, really reassures me a lot. People all use cell phones. I would keep it further away from pregnant women and from very young children up to the age of two or three. Would not have cell phones and iPads with the children hours per day. So I do think some prudent limits are in order, but beyond that, I really wouldn't worry.
I didn't know 5G was a threat to us. I'm worried.
I don't know. No, just because I brought it up. Well, did you hear him? He's not worried.
That's true.
He's the
doc's
doctor.
Not worried. I'm not
right.
Worried.
He's a doctor. He's got a triple venti cup of coffee in his hand right now while he's telling us, "Hey, guys, please be very careful with the caffeine, whatever you're doing." And the CBD oil doesn't work, Kevin. That's what I just learned. All right, doctor. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you, sir.
Pleasure's mine. Bye bye,
Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit of better health care.
He's comforting.
He is.
Normally I worry about things like this, just all sorts of those sorts of things we just talked about, but he sort of eased my worries.
You know, he was, before, he's now the medical director, I think, of the...
He's a big deal.
Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
I did meet him in the emergency room. He used to run the... He ran the emergency room for like 20 years there. And imagine the stuff.
So were you a patient?
I've been a patient a few times.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been through a couple times.
The heart's racing, doc, again.
Yeah. And actually, that did... Okay. So I used to drink before the... Before the Starbucks, when I decided I was going to go, you know, back to moderate, I used to drink a number of sugar-free Red Bulls a day to get myself ready for the show.
What's a number? How many ounces?
Well, I started with the little ones. And so I thought, I guess whatever the little one is. Yeah.
I think it's 8, 12,
8
24?
Or 10 ounces, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
So I'd start with the little one, and I thought, now why does it gives you wings? Why am I interested in this?
Yeah.
And then I found, well, that's great. I feel like I'm focused, and I really like what I'm experiencing.
I'm jazzed. Yeah.
I like this whole thing. So I then moved on to maybe two a day of those. And I thought, well, you know what? Why don't I just buy the bigger ones? And then the next thing I know, I was doing two of those. And then the third thing I know is I'm in an emergency room because my heart will not stop racing.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah, and they're like, well, now what exactly did you do?
Well, I had 7 Red Bulls before this, but I'm not exactly sure why my heart's racing. It's probably the Red Bulls, Mr. Khan.
I'm vomiting neon green. I don't know why.
And then you get, even though the first time you have it, you're like, oh, God, this stuff tastes awful. And then you get used to the awful taste being great for you. It's like alcohol.
There's something about energy drinks where it's so, I had a stretch, too, where I was really an energy. I think
it
was
a Monster guy?
No, I started with Red Bull. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I know Monster people who drink like 3 or 4 Monsters a day.
There's a guy walking around here with his hat to the back that does that all day long.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. With shots of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
He's got like a 2 liter of Mountain Dew in there, and he's just chugging Monsters and sipping it back with a Mountain Dew.
Telling you, we need to get a defibrillator in here. That's what I'm going to tell you. Coming up at Top 5 at 5 and at 5:40 on the radio and on the World Wide Web, after 5:40, we're going to tell you what time you need to listen to Steve Cochran tomorrow morning to hear that video audio cue. I don't know what else to call it because they never told me. But this gives you an opportunity to rip us off for the ultimate family reunion experience at Guaranteed Rate Field. We are giving you a suite for 20 people plus food and cheer, it says here on the Sox, as they play the Minnesota Twins on Sunday, July 28th. And you have to listen to Steve Cochran tomorrow, and I'll tell you at exactly what time to qualify to win. That's sweet. You got to qualify. There's a lot of qualifications here.
Sounds pretty sweet, though.
It is. Oh. Wow. From outside.
Downtown. Lapka. She's heating up.
So there is going to be very interesting at 5:40. Now, we're waiting to hear, too, if the White Sox are going to be taking the field in Boston tonight, because they're having bizarre rain events there as well.
Speaking of bizarre rain events, it's now sunny, and it was a downpour 5 minutes ago.
It's sunny out one window, and the other one is just blue. Right. Everything's blue. It's just a sea of blue, and I'm not talking about just the water.
I just saw a cow go through the air right past our window here.
Was it Mick Jagger flying with him?
He's fighting it with four!
Was that Jagger?
That guy floats in the air like Jagger. All right, here we go. We got the news with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. It's a Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. And you know what it's time for, don't you? It's a very important part of the day, very important time of the year, very important time in history. This, the 25th of June, 2019, 5 p.m. or thereabouts.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
So we're playing this because this is kind of a big story. I've been watching this story, the 9/11 Responders Compensation Fund, which is now out of money. Because I figured in 20 years, who's going to need it? They'll be fine. But the various diseases and conditions. I have a friend who was a volunteer firefighter here from Chicago, went with all the firefighters from Chicago and literally spent weeks sleeping on sleeping bags in the rubble there. Just in between, you know, maybe getting 2-3 hours of sleep a night while they were trying to dig people out. They didn't know if there were people. And they did find a few people. There were some survivors that they found that were below. But that was, you know, then they would find some bodies. But it was grueling, incredibly intense work that was dedicated solely to preserving the dignity of those 3,000 plus people who died. And the compensation fund is going to run out. You've seen a lot of action on Capitol Hill. John Stewart's been very involved in this because of his passion for it. I applaud him for that. Anybody who, obviously the people of New York, but any American who saw that, was touched by the work there, or has, you know, gone to see the September 11th at any time, the memorial that's there now or any time after September 11th, 2001, to go see that rebuild that they've done there. You can't help but be touched by it. So now these doofuses in Washington have finally gotten themselves to a position where maybe they can get this thing done. Here's Senate President Mitch McConnell. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, no. This is John Feel, who is one of those first responders. Says there's
most people in America have something that they believe in. They have a cause. And everybody should have a cause that they believe in. But a lot of them don't want to go to their state capital or the nation's capital because they don't think they're going to get anywhere. Well, I have a mindset different of others because they work for us. The chairs that they put their asses in, the pens that they use, the pads that they write on, we pay for that shit. That's ours. They work for us. Mitch McConnell works for us. He works for all of you guys. And today, Mitch McConnell promised to work for us. And I'm going to take him for his word.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
I appreciate his passion.
Yeah. And also those guys, those first responders, they can say whatever they want. Right. They should be allowed to swear on the radio after what they went through.
Yeah.
It can't even imagine when you, saw the aftermath of that. You cannot even imagine how they cleaned it up.
I mean, you're driving into hell.
Yes, it was hell.
You're heading to hell if you're a first responder.
Right. So I hope that they do the right thing here. checking in at. Here we go. Don't anybody tell me.
Number four.
President Trump threatening Iran on Twitter today. I like how we're going to have World War III announced on Twitter. We no longer need. What do we need? It just, as long as you have a Twitter account, just keep watching Twitter.
Status update. Going to war.
Thermonuclear meltdown.
It's just unbelievable.
So the president today, again, I'm going to stress those words. The president today said, first of all, what the Iranians said about the president. They said that the White House is afflicted by mental retardation and they are permanently closing the doors to diplomacy. Then the president fired back, saying his statements were ignorant and insulting, warning an attack by Iran on anything American will be met with great and overwhelming force. Later, the president said that when Iran is ready, they'll have to let us know. He was then asked by reporters what he meant by that, and...
What message did you want to send to him with your tweets?
Well, there is no message. You know, I'll tell you what the message is. When they're ready, they'll have to let us know. When they're ready, they'll let us know. Very simple.
Ready to negotiate, you mean?
Ready to do whatever. Doesn't make any difference. Whatever they want to do, I'm ready. Okay?
Okay.
Meet you in the parking lot at 3 o'clock.
Bike racks. 3:30. Bike racks. All right. Then the president was asked this.
Do you have an exit strategy for Iran if war does break?
Don't ask that. Don't ask that.
You're not going to need an exit strategy. I don't need exit strategies.
You kind of do. You kind of have before. Listen. He was talking all tough with them, then he pulled back, and then he wonders why he's now. And now the Iranians have upped the rhetoric, right? I mean, where do we head with this? I happen to think that the president did the right thing by not bombing them, but I think I'm on an island. The president and I are on an island together. I'd like to introduce him to Madame Tojo, my toilet.
If you look at the conversations he had with Kim Jong-un, what, like a year or so ago, he'll probably just be best friends with Iran in a year from now.
It's possible. You know, that's the funny thing. Did you see that? Is this in here? No, it's not. That today that Kim Jong-un talked about the letter he received from Donald Trump and says one of the most beautiful things he's ever seen.
Was he holding a blank white piece of paper as well?
I don't think so. I think they just announced that the love affair is back on.
The bromance.
Oh man, that's so weird.
It's so weird.
That is so. I'm
it's
sorry.
A freak show.
As an American, you got to go. Wait. He did what?
God, I would love to read that letter.
I love you. I love you too. Hearts. Happy face emoji. Emoji with hearts for eyes.
Just a nice letter back and forth. He wrote me a beautiful letter on birthday. It was my birthday, as you know, last week. He wrote me a beautiful letter. I thought it was very nice. And just two friendly letters. We get along very well.
No mention of another meeting?
Maybe there was, but we, at some point we'll do that. Getting along very well. He's not doing nuclear testing.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's doing rocket testing. That's good enough. I like how he post-promotes his birthday, though. That was a good thing. Do you remember it was my birthday last week, in case you forgot, you want to send me a card.
Some are calling it the best birthday of all time.
A birthday unlike the world has ever seen before. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Cam, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom?
It's a half century after Stonewall, the police raid that sparked a new civil rights movement. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
Top 5 continues.
Number three.
The governor was in the Austin neighborhood of Chicago today, which is appropriate, signing the marijuana legalization.
We can't turn the clock back, but we can turn the page. I'm so proud that our state is leading with equity and justice in its approach to cannabis legalization and its regulatory framework. And because of the people here, and because of the work of people all across our state, Illinois is moving forward with empathy and hope.
Nothing sexier than regulatory framework when you say that in the middle of a speech. All right, well, let's see how it goes. But then we got high. Checking in at
number two.
This is the 10th anniversary of the death of Michael Jackson. 10 years ago this afternoon. I'll never forget that moment.
That was a weird day. Yeah. Didn't Farrah Fawcett also die the same day?
Within hours. Yeah. I know. Same day or the day before, day after. It was crazy. And then Conrad Murray ended up going to jail because he wasn't the best doctor. I'm just going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. He left the room, puts him on the propofol, and then leaves the room. Don't worry, he'll be fine. Kim Sledge of Sister Sledge says that Michael Jackson was the best performer ever.
He was one of the best entertainers I've ever seen perform. I have to say, he really was. All of them. We loved all of their performances. When I saw him when he was singly performing, there was something about the energy that was just enchanting. It was fascinating. I've never seen energy like that. Mm-hmm. I can say the only other person I could think of that I saw that type of energy is when I was really, really little, watching maybe Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. But all the things have come in the aftermath, too. You know, I mean, there was obviously the investigations and the trial and everything when he was alive, and then afterwards, and now this other stuff that's getting people coming out. It's just, I don't know. It was a very momentous life, but short and troubled. And finally,
number one.
Congratulations to Irene from Elmwood Park. She won 4 tickets to an upcoming White Sox game and qualified to win the suite for 20 on the 28th of July.
Woo. It's Irene in Elmwood Park. You win.
Yay! Thank you.
You're going to have to find 19 family members to go to a game.
Oh, I have plenty.
Oh, you do? Do you do a family reunion every year?
No. My husband just has a large family, and they love the White Sox.
The top five at five.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc. This continues right here on 720 WGN. Not 720 WGN, it's WGN everywhere on the World Wide Web on 720 WGN. Of course, it's the White Sox game. But that doesn't mean that we are not at 540, which is in 4 minutes from now, going to tell you exactly what it is you need to know about the big White Sox family reunion contest that we're running right here at WGN. Now, does it?
Great contest.
Is it the best contest we've ever run?
It's one of the best.
It's actually a pretty cool thing. I mean, I like to make fun of things, and they get mad at me about it. Because people work very hard in the offices to come up with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, when you do, you stop, you think about this. When you are, if you're a sports fan of any sort, I think White Sox fans are probably right there with Hawks fans in terms of total passion. That like 80% of Sox fans are over the top insane about their team.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I can verify that.
I would say that about 26% of Cubs fans are over the top crazy about their team. Maybe 30% that have that level of like crazy craziness. And then the rest of them just like to dress scantily and walk around the concourse. Hawks fans, nuts about their team. You're back up to 80-85%. Now, it was a little lower during the playoff run. There were a lot of looky-loos and people like that. That, we're coming out and going, I want to be a part of this. I hear it's very great. Why is it so cold in here? So there was that. But Hawks fans, that's a big percentage of like over the top crazy fans. And then Bears fans, listen, it's
100%.
It's actually probably in the 70s.
Really?
For I think the Bears, because there's a lot of people who just want to be part of that thing. You go to Bears games, there are some, you can tell there are some Bears fans that are there for corporate reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there because they're so crazy about it, but they're there because their company's paying for it and they got to be there.
I'll host this suite. Now, what do these people do? Oh, look, rawr, bear, rawr.
The rest of the people are. I mean, you want to see the real Bears fans? Go sit up in the 400 level. There's like a murder up there every game.
The tailgates.
Or the tailgating. There's people that disappear at the tailgate all the time. Nobody ever reports it.
You gotta look for the flags, man. That tailgate out in the south lot, if you gotta, and the people they hoist a flag, and you have to, it's like pirate ships, or some of those like vans and pickups and stuff that have the tailgate on them.
It's insane over there.
Yeah, you gotta be very. You gotta know where. You gotta know what you're doing over there. You gotta be a professional. Thank God I am. Anyway, the point is that people have passion about their teams. They have a familial. I mean, I'm a Bears fan because my dad was a Bears fan. Took me to games when I was very little, right? And his dad was. And there, you know, there's like the story that goes on like that.
It's a tradition that gets passed on.
Sox fans, same way. It's a big tradition that gets passed on. And we have an opportunity to pay back to your family and your friends. Right? Or maybe there was like a next door neighbor that you went over and you know, like your buddy who lived next door, he was, you know, his dad was a huge Sox fan. That's why you became a huge Sox fan. Whatever it is, you get to pay back now because we're going to give you a suite to the White Sox on the 28th of July. That's what we're going to do. They're playing the Twins. Doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any more important than that right now. Because the Twins, apparently, are men from Mars who are capable of doing things that humans cannot do. But that seems to be what the case is. So, tomorrow morning, here's what I want to tell you. This is the important thing. Tomorrow morning on the Steve Cochran Show, listen for... Do I play this now? Let me play this again for you. Listen for this.
Runner goes, and the pitch high and deep to straightaway center field. Brett Gardner on his horse looks up. Goodbye! Eloy Jimenez, first big league home run to straightaway center field against the Yankees.
Swinging a long one. Tagged, bagged, second home run. Light it up. That is absolutely crushed out of here. Wow.
I was sitting in a Baracos when that happened. I will never forget.
You know exactly where you are.
Yes, at the moment. Everyone in the restaurant just gave me a really funny look because I was like, "Whoa!" I was so excited.
That's a Southside girl right there.
Yeah, it is.
On 111th, is that the Baracos you were on?
No, in Orland Park.
In Orland Park. Ah, right. Oh, look at that. Very nice. Very well done. That's you could take the girl out of the Southside, but you cannot take the Southside out of the girl. I think that is the truth. I've known that to be the case. So this is a. This is the thing you hear, that you listen for. And then it's going to be played between 8:30 and 9. And then if you're caller number 20 after you hear that clip at 312-981-7200, you win 4 tickets to an upcoming Sox game. And then you're qualified to win the suite. And we'll announce the winner of the suite next Wednesday, July 3rd. How about that?
Great giveaway.
Yep. It is great. It really is a great thing. And I think that people should be taking part in this. They should be listening tomorrow morning between 8:30 and 9 to Mr. Cochran so they can get their chance.
Some of the best days to be watching the Sox right now. They've been so exciting to watch.
Tough one last night. Man, they're in every game, right?
But how exciting was it? It was back and forth, back and forth. We had the lead most of the game.
There you go. All right, now, I have another thing I need to tell you about. Listen to her. See, this is...
And she says we. That's how you know she's a diehard. She feels like she's a part of the team.
I do.
We had them right where we wanted them.
I'm an honorary member, okay?
Were you at a Baracos last night watching it, too?
If I was, I don't remember, so...
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Look out.
Now, there's a Sox fan right there, too. Look out. I don't know. Who's asking?
Who's asking?
All right, now, here's another thing I need to tell you. This is important. But I have to speak in code.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you don't mind as I speak in code to you. Because we're not allowed, there's certain things we're not allowed to say in this next promotion that we are doing. I'm thinking to myself about how I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's the deal. It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, right? We do things. We do a lot of things.
A lot of big things.
We go out. We take the audience with us. We do big shows outside the stadium, outside stadiums. We do big shows out, like for Christmas, the big show. Remember? Mm-hmm. Remember?
Wow, this is getting intense.
But this is a very special opportunity I'm going to give you right now. You to listen to me. You want to go to London now, don't you?
Why are you doing an Italian voice?
You want to go maybe with the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis to London?
Yeah.
You're going to want to leave on October 3rd. You want to go to London, you want to go see the Tower of London, you want to see the Queen of England, you want to go see things. But there's a very special event happening that Sunday in London, too. It's an event I can't talk to you about. Because if I talk to you about it, they're going to get mad at me. And then there will be repercussions. And then there will be blood in the streets. We will have to go through the mattresses. And I don't want to have to do that. Nobody wants blood. It's a great expense. But I have tickets to this event that you may or may not know about. It's a football event. It's a couple teams playing football in London. One of them happens to be from here. Friends of ours. You also get to say 4 nights at the 4-star Radisson Edwardian Kenilworth. I had friends at Kenilworth too. It's a different thing. Don't bring it up. I got a premium ticket package that you can buy for me right now to go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to watch this football event I'm talking to you about. All you got to do is call Steve Bertrand right now on his cell phone. 847-606-6065. And then you can join us for a very nominal fee. Or WGNradio.com. And don't, if anybody asks where you heard about this, don't tell them it was us. It's a private conversation. I gotta go.
That's good.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do it. Because we're not allowed to discuss what we're doing when we get there. Because apparently we're not the rights holders.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I think so. I happen to think it will be. All right, that's that. All right, now I've done all the duty I can possibly do here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it like that. My toilet is going to get very jealous when I say that, something like that. What do you mean you've done all the duty? What about me?
Things were going so well with your toilet.
I know. I
was going through your phone, Ro, and I saw.
You know, that's really interesting because I think my toilet has an app.
See? She's going to be going through your phone.
She's going to know everything about me.
I mean, a smart toilet should have an app.
Yes, I just got the smart toilet.
Everything's got an app now.
Madam Tojo, as I call her.
You could probably sync up a playlist.
Oh, that would be nice. Different songs for like the ferociousness of the bathroom visit.
Also, right, but she gets to pick them because she knows what you did.
Right,
it's like one of those deals. It's like that, you know, that summer, those summer movies or whatever. I know what you did. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Don't tell anybody what I did. Oh man. All right. So there's that. All right, let's take a quick time out here, and then we'll come right back and close things up here on the World Wide Web on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Even though Anna DeVlantis isn't here, I just did a promotion where I couldn't mention what it was that we were actually going to do. But hopefully, somebody's going to qualify tomorrow morning. I know somebody will on the Steve Cochran Show. So stay right here. But first, your red shoes and dance the blues. That's actually what Mick Jagger's going to be doing tonight at Soldier Field. They've cleared the weather now for Soldier Field. If you're on your way to the event tonight, you are going to one of the greatest concerts you're ever going to see. I can vouch for that. I've seen a lot of concerts. I was trying to count them up the other day.
How many are you thinking?
I think it's over 200.
Wow.
So I've been lucky enough to be able to see most of the biggest, you know, those big like Jurassic rock acts. I'd never seen the Stones until Friday night.
Really?
Yeah. Of all, isn't that the craziest thing?
So top three performances for you?
The Wall. Roger Waters, The Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Stones last night, and then The Who at the House of Blues. That was a crazy show. Because it was you're standing right there and Roger Daltrey spitting on you. I mean, like, no matter where you are in the House of Blues, you could not get away from Roger Daltrey spinning
microphone or the spit. That was it. And that was like a 98, I think.
It's a very sensual venue.
It was very intimate. Very intimate. So that would be it. But those are top three. Thank you for asking. But you know what comes in number four, though?
What do you got?
Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you see him?
At Soldier Field.
Oh, that's right.
Hmm. Yeah. That's got to be number four.
You like Soldier as a venue for a concert?
Yes, I do now. I didn't used to. When I was a kid, I went to the old Soldier Field, which, like, when the Bears weren't playing at the old Soldier Field, it was crappy when the Bears were playing there too. But when the Bears weren't playing there, it seemed extra crappy. I don't know why, but it just seemed extra, like you notice when the cement was falling off the steps. Mm-hmm. There were only two bathrooms with two urinals and two stalls per side.
And you felt like you were a mile away no matter what seat you were in. The first time I went there was for a Chicago Fire game. Remember the fire played at Soldier Field? And I saw about 30 seconds of the entire game because I was a little kid and the seats were way back.
Yep.
And you just felt like you were a mile away from the field.
When I was a kid, we had seats to the Bears in the north end zone, and the north end zone was high school stands. No backs, no anything, just rickety
bleachers.
Rickety bleachers that they put the big time Bear band or whatever they called it. They had like this marching band that had hats. It looked like the Bozo Circus band. And they would sit there, and then they would sway back and forth, and there had to be 5,000 people on those stands in the north, and it was just going back and forth. You thought, any minute now you're going to die. Any minute now you're going to die. And I mean, the bathrooms, I'll never forget walking into a bathroom in the old Soldier Field and at the end of the game, and there was a guy cleaning the hot dogs in the sink.
Oh, cleaning boy. Hot dogs?
Cleaning the bun off the hot dog in the sink so they could use the hot dogs again. And that man was George Halas.
Damn it, we're not wasting these hot dogs.
Come on. Ain't no good. It's just as good as case me.
You wimps.
That's what we're going to do. I got to get the bread off, though, because it's going to go bad by next. We're off next week.
Did you ever meet him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was something.
Is he intimidating?
Yes.
This is a little bit.
Very. Very. But he, it's a great, you meet, he's the founder of the NFL,
right?
He and Curly Lambeau. It doesn't get any better than that. But he, but that stadium, again, it was just the worst. And I went to go see the Parliament Funkadelic show.
Nice.
Summerfest, I think they called it, before there was a Milwaukee Summerfest, or Summer Jam, I think they called it, actually. Summer Jam in the late 1970s. And that was a great production show because they came down in a rocket ship. They had like this whole, they had like a whole
they
thing.
They came
going.
Down in a rocket ship?
Yeah, they had a spaceship that they landed on. They landed on the stage. Earth, Wind & Fire did that too. They came down in tubes. That's my number five show. That's my number five show, rather. Earth, Wind & Fire. When they did it was David Copperfield designed their show for them.
Huh.
And they start. And then you see these tubes descend, and then you see them descending in these tubes.
Oh my gosh.
It was very weird.
So then where does Barbara land on your list?
Higher on Tom Skilling's list than on mine. I just got tickets
for August 6th. I cannot wait.
For the Barbara Streisand show?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was great. I've never seen her. I can't wait.
I mean, she was great. She's top 10 for sure. She was top 10 for sure. But the whole experience of it was great. But the thing is, you gotta put up a little bit with Barbara Streisand, wanting to tell a really long story in between songs. And you're like, and then we were sitting in a place where if I got up to go pee, she would have yelled at me. So that was a problem. It was like, and that's one of those things where I had to pee so bad. Do you ever have this moment? And then you're afraid. I was with friends of hers. That was the thing.
Oh, wow.
And that was, so, and they've gotten me the tickets. They're friends of mine. We have mutual friends. And they took me to the show, and then they took me backstage afterwards to meet her. And I got back there, and I go, I have got to go to the bathroom.
It's a bad look getting up and...
This was before your toilet, too.
It was from my magic toilet.
You just sat on your toilet the whole time.
Yeah.
I got up during a stand-up show once.
Oh, bad move. See?
Horrible move.
Yeah. Right.
And he I don't know what he said, but he said something when I was walking away. And I'm like, yeah, what am I doing? Why would I get up in the middle of his act?
Well, that's... So she yelled at a guy on his phone, you know, that was...
He got
a phone call.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, that's definitely worse.
Yeah, and like she was about to do...
Hey, how you doing? I'm at the Streisand concert!
No, I'm not busy.
She's killing it, man! This is a man top five show of all time!
No, it was more like Lauren. No, I'm not busy. I got it all. Hey, no, oh, God. Really? That guy's going to sell that thing now? I just bought it. Oh, God. And the guys, and then she like she stopped. Right? She goes, I will continue when you get off your phone. And when Barbara Streisand yells at you, you've been yelled at.
Oh, yeah.
Right? She's got those nails. You know, she's got those, you know, she's like, she'll poke you right in the eyeball with it from like 13 rows back. So it's like, you do not want to mess with her. But, so there was, yes, that's where Babs shows up in that. I can't think about it. There was too many others to really consider. Who, Quadrophenia at the United Center?
Well, so with festivals, does that count as one, or do you count all the different bands you see?
Well, it was kind of one thing. It was Bootsy Collins and, you know, George Clinton. So that was like one day. They called themselves three different bands with the same guys doing the things. So, but that was a great show. But it was a crappy stadium. And I used to think, God, you know, because the question on the floor was, is the Soldier Field a great place to see a show? It is now. It is now a great place to see a show because they've got enough amenities and enough stuff to do indoors and under when the weather moves in or whatever it happens to be. So you're in good shape there.
Hmm.
That's the nice thing about that. And it is, and they have done, and the way that, because it's now the, you know, the stadium, to Kevin's point, used to be this like flat bowl. You'd be a half a mile away from the action.
If you walk around Soldier Field still, because I know everybody calls it a spaceship, they really did kind of land an entire stadium on top of the old stadium. If you walk around, you can still see the rows where the seats were,
mm-hmm.
and how far it is back. If you do like a lap on the exterior of Soldier Field,
the colonnade, they call it.
Yes, you will see where old seats were, like top rows, and you cannot believe how far it is and how rough those seats were.
Yes, I sat in those too. The top row on the west side of the stadium. On the south end zone, on the goal line, south end zone.
So that's where you can see the seats, yes.
Yes.
You can walk right, basically right on them, essentially.
That's, with seats, when I was a kid, I also had those seats. And that was, that's where we upgraded from the big time Bear Band, where I was almost dead, to the top row. My dad got us up there.
Farther, but more stable?
More stable, because the building wasn't going to collapse. But any amount of wind that came off Lake Michigan at any given time.
So you leave when your face is just windburned.
Right, oh my God.
Red.
I was the coldest I have ever been. And I would sit, the nice thing was, I would sit on the seat back, right, because it was a bench with the big seat back. And so I'd put my feet on so I could see above the really, you know, the fat guy with the cigar in front of me. And then lean against the chain link fence. And then fall off the colonnade going the other way.
Maybe the coldest I've ever been was when, even in the new stadium, if you sit on the west side in that big upper deck area,
yeah,
as you get the lake wind, was Brett Favre's last game, which was one of the coldest Bears-Packers games on record. And I left that game.
The 400 level.
I was upper? Yeah, I was probably about 15, 20 rows up. So not all the way to the top, but you felt it. And it was freezing.
Do you know what's really freaky about those seats? Is how steep.
Yeah.
That climb is to get up and get down on
there
the 400
level. Every game there are people
falling
over the seats.
Yeah.
There are drunk people falling over the seats. Yeah. But they are great seats because you have a great vantage on the play. It's like if you're at the United Center in your upper deck, you can see plays kind of develop because you have that over-the-top vantage. That's how those seats are as well. You're kind of up there, but it's football, and the field's big enough, so they're good seats. But freeze your ass off. Worth it.
Thank you. Thank you. Very well said. Speaking of the United Center, it's a great place to see a show, too. Now, they fixed it, because it wasn't always a great place to see a show, because they had sound issues. And they finally figured out how to do the sound reinforcement so that wherever you're sitting in the stadium, you're able to hear the show, not the slap of the show. Not something a second and a half later than everybody else heard it, which is not good.
No. I've only been on the floor over there, and that's where I got three bruised ribs because of... crowd just rushed the stage and little old me got caught in the middle and I got squished between people.
Oh.
And I bruised three ribs. I couldn't breathe for like a month.
Our little Lauren got extruded out of the crowd. what show was that?
Slipknot.
Wow.
I Yeah, that's why I got crushed. Yeah. I went there to see Coheed and Cambria, who played before them.
Okay, you know what? I just want that for a promo. I just want that moment. I want her telling the story and then go, what? Meet Lauren Lapka, WGN Radio. All right. Let's find out from, speaking of WGN Radio, let's find out what's happening in the news. Kim Gordon's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.